Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad you're here this morning. If you are new or are visiting today, we want you to know that there's a place for you here at Mission Creek. There's a place of belonging here for you. And my name is Cameron. I'm one of the pastors on staff here, and it's my privilege to bring God's message this morning to us as a church. And so we're in a sermon series in the Gospel of John. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Keith began unpacking the Gospel of John for us. And we started by looking at the prologue. And we learned how the prologue is a lens by which we look at the rest of the Gospel of John. And so in that prologue, we learned how the eternal God, in all his glory, came in human form, in skin and bones, to reveal the Father to us, and for the purpose that we may believe. And the word believe is an action word. It's a verb. It's so that we may start believing. We may go on believing. And so we unpacked that a few weeks ago. And for the purpose, too, that we may have life. And not just human life as we know it that leads to decay, but true life, eternal life, here and now and forever. And so that's the lens that we look at when we look at the Gospel of John. And so this morning, I want to continue in that sermon series, and we want to look at a passage that contains the most incredible invitation. And so I was thinking of incredible invitations that I've had in my life, and I was thinking, before I came on staff as a pastor here, I was in the business marketplace, and I worked as a project manager. And I had an incredible invitation. I thought it was, at least. You see, one of our business vendors had come to us and said, you know, you guys give us the great business. We appreciate you guys so much. We want to take you guys to an NHL hockey game to see the Vancouver Canucks. And I thought, yes, I love the Canucks. And they said, well, not just that. We're renting a private box, all-inclusive, beverages, food, we're giving you the royal treatment. And I thought, oh, I can't say no. I've got to come and see this. I love the Canucks. And that was an incredible invitation. Maybe you're not a hockey fan, but maybe you like to travel. A few years ago, my wife, she had an incredible invitation to travel. You see, someone in her family came to her and said, Lee, I want to spend some more time with you. Let's go on a trip together. I'll take care of the majority of the details. I'll take care of the majority of the costs. You just pick where we're going to go. Incredible invitation, right? And so my wife said, let's go to New York. And so she came home and gave me the most un-incredible invitation. And that was, you got to stay home and watch the kids because I'm going. So incredible invitations. This morning, we're going to look at a section of text in the Gospel of John that has the most incredible invitation. So if you have your Bible here, please turn to John chapter 1, verse 35. And if you want to use your pew Bible, it's right in front of you, you can turn to page 737. And we're going to look at the Gospel of John chapter 1, looking at verse 35, and I'm going to read it out. The next day, John the Baptist was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went with him and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were a long way off, still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." We'll just pray for my voice. I'm getting over a cold. Let's take a minute. Heavenly Father, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pray that you would open my voice to speak your message this morning. Pray that you would open the mind and the ears and the people here to see you more clearly this morning, Lord. Pray that your spirit would dwell here, that we would know you more truly, that you would open the realities of heaven to us this morning. In your name, amen. This morning, I want to unpack this incredible invitation that we see Jesus giving to his disciples. And I want to do that by giving three stories of incredible invitations, people who received them. The first is a story about Andrew. You see, Andrew was a man who wanted more in life. He was restless. He wasn't satisfied where things were going. He was going from teacher to teacher, trying to find truth. And recently, Andrew, he had come and he had found John the Baptist. You see, John wasn't calling people to him. John was saying, "I will point you to the one who will come, who is greater than I." Andrew was intrigued. What does this mean? Andrew had to follow to find out more. What does this mean, he wondered. He wanted to know. This is what I imagine Andrew, the disciple, to be like. You see, the modern day Andrew is quite similar. It's someone who is searching, someone who is open to spiritual truth, but they're just not quite sure where to go to find it. So they look to meditation, or to yoga, or to Oprah, or a spiritual celebrity to help guide them in that process. They're looking for truth. They know it's out there, but they're not sure where to go. Back to our story of Andrew the disciple. You see, one day Jesus is walking by, and John the Baptist says, "Look, the Lamb of God." And so Andrew is intrigued. Something swells up inside of him. He has to go. He has to follow. And so he starts walking towards Jesus. And Jesus turns to Andrew and says, "What do you want?" It's a simple question, but it's profound and it's deep. Because in the Gospel of John, this is the first words of Jesus, the eternal God who came as a man. The first recorded words is a question to Andrew. "What do you want? What can I do for you, Andrew? What is it you need?" And so Andrew, he wants to find out more. And so he says, "Where are you staying?" Jumping into verse 39, Jesus replies, "Come, and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. You see, Jesus says, come with me, and then you will see. We'll be together, and you'll learn all about me. Jesus invites Andrew to come along, to spend a day together, to spend time together, and to do life together, and to come and find out more. So that brings me to my first key point today, and that's this. Jesus invites us to come and see. You see, Jesus gives us an incredible invitation. He invites us to come, to see, to stay with him. You see, in the Gospel of John, believing is an action. It's a verb. It's doing something with your faith. And so Jesus gives us a clear invitation to come and to see, to be normal, to talk with him. Do you notice something strange about this invitation? Maybe even something countercultural? Do you notice that Jesus doesn't say, Andrew, why don't you just stay back and observe me for a while, and then you can decide what you want to do with me? Or if I put it in maybe today's language, Jesus doesn't say, Andrew, you can check out my Facebook profile and then decide if you want to friend me. He doesn't say that. And so Jesus says, Andrew, come, and then you will see. You see, our culture would say the opposite. We would say that you can only deduce something from data or a matrix of trying to find something out. Believing is an action word, and believing is the prerequisite to understanding. And so Jesus gives us this personal invitation. He says, come and see and trust. Trust me, and then you will see. This applies to people who are new in the faith and people who have been journeying a long time in the faith. Jesus says, come, and then you will see. Second story. My second story is about Simon and what I imagine Simon might have been like as a disciple before he met Jesus. You see, Simon, he was a small business owner. He had a fishing rig, and he had a fishing crew. But the last few seasons of work had been tough for Simon. Simon was angry. He felt like he was all over the map in his decisions in his life, and he just couldn't pull it together sometimes. His emotions and decisions always seemed to get to the best of him. His brother Andrew had said that he was probably a really hard guy to work for. That can't be true, Simon thought. Reflecting a bit more, Simon remembered how all his crew had quit last year. He had to find a new crew again this year. When things didn't go well, Simon would lash out at people. I think the modern-day Simon is someone who's frustrated with life, who feels stuck. Maybe things haven't gone how you wanted. Can you relate to Simon sometimes? Back to our story. So one day, Simon is off on the fishing boat, and Andrew comes running up to him all excited and says, we have found the Messiah. And in the first century, this was like the biggest eureka moment. It was like, we found the rainbow, we followed it, and we actually found a pot of gold and a leprechaun. It's amazing. We found the Messiah. And so Simon is compelled. He has to go. And so Andrew, the spiritual seeker, and Simon, the angry fisherman, go and find Jesus. Verse 42. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Second key point today is this, is that when we come and see Jesus, we are transformed. Here's the interesting thing, is that in the text, Simon, his name literally means shifting sand. We see this in Simon's character. He's all over the map. He's rash. He's spontaneous. He has huge bursts of emotion. And so Jesus looks at Simon and gives him a new name. He gives him the name Cephas, which means rock. Here's the interesting thing, is that Jesus accepted Simon as he was, but promised that he would become a rock. And so we see in the Gospel of John this slow and steady transformation of character for Simon becoming Peter, the rock. You know, it's almost like Jesus comes to Simon and says, you know, now that you've came and see me, I'm going to give you a nickname because you're going to be on my team. I'm going to call you Rocky because right now you're a bit of a bum, but we're going to work with you, and when I'm through with you, you're going to be solid. You're going to be Peter. Today, this is true for us today. You see, when we come and see Jesus, we come as we are. We come where we're at, and Jesus will look at us and start to transform us. He will begin a work of restoration. He will begin making us into something new, something perfect, something better, something solid. Jesus shows us who we were meant to be and transforms us into his perfect design. When we come and see Jesus, we will see transformation. But here's the thing. This doesn't happen if we stand back. We have to come and we have to see Jesus. Here's my third story. My third story is about Nathanael and what I imagine Nathanael would have been like. You see, Nathanael was probably a fully devoted follower of the Torah. He loved to study. He loved to sit under the fig tree and study. And this was a common place of study, a common place where people would go to pray, to meditate, to study God's word. Nathanael loved pondering life and philosophy. And sometimes others would join him and they would debate about meanings of verses in the Torah. Nathanael didn't have time for trivial things. You know, sometimes Nathanael's friends, they would call him a know-it-all, but Nathanael would disagree and say, "I'm just telling you the correct information." I imagine the modern-day Nathanael to be an intellectual, a person who loves to study and learn, a person involved in academic circles, educated, matter-of-fact. And so here's Nathanael, and one day Philip comes running up to him and says, "We have found the one Moses wrote about, the one they wrote about when the prophets wrote. Come and see." And so we jump into our text in verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." And then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This brings me to my third key point today, and that's this. When we come and when we see Jesus, we will see revelation. When we come and see Jesus and follow him, we will see new realities. We will see perspectives that we cannot see on our own. You see, Nathanael, he was in a private area. He was off studying, and somehow, supernaturally, Jesus perceived some intimate details about Nathanael. And so when Nathanael comes and Jesus declares, like, "I saw you a long way off," it pierces Nathanael's heart and he is transformed. Jesus says, "I know you. You're an upright guy. There's nothing phony about you." Nathanael is struck to his innermost being. How could Jesus know such intimate knowledge about me? You see, Jesus doesn't leave it there. He says, "I will show you even greater things than these." And here's the interesting thing that I found when I was digging into the text, is that in the first century, there was a really well-known story in the Jewish culture about Jacob's ladder. And Jacob's ladder comes to us from Genesis 28. It's when Jacob was on the run after he had tricked his brother, stole the family birthright, and he was on the run. And so Jacob is on the run, Genesis 28, and he falls asleep and he has a dream. And in Jacob's dream, he sees a ladder touching earth, stretching all the way up to heaven, and he sees angels ascending and descending on that. In his dream, he sees God beside him. God gives him a blessing and a promise. And so Jesus is essentially saying to Nathanael, "Nathanael, you know the scriptures. You recall how Jacob, who was full of deceit, even saw the ladder that went up to heaven, and he saw the blessings? Well, guess what? You people, all of you, right now and forever, if you come to me, if you come to Jesus, if you join my team, you will see a door to heaven opened permanently, forever. And you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jesus is saying, guys, get this. This is what I imagine Jesus to say. He says, "Guess what, guys? There's no more ladder. I am the link between heaven and earth. I am the portal. Jesus says, heaven and earth are literally touching in me everywhere I go. And so Jesus pulls in the guys and he says, listen up, this is heavy, this is good. When you believe, when you come and see me, in me you will find heaven opened up. You will have access to the realities of heaven. So people of Mission Creek, this is a universal promise. When you come and see who Jesus is, you will perceive new reality. You will see heaven opened. You will reach out and be able to touch the living Jesus, who is a portal to the realities of heaven. So get this, and you need to get this. All of the power of God is available to us through the person of Jesus. All of the love of God is available to us through the person of Jesus. All of true life is available to us. Jesus is revealing the glory of God. Jesus is revealing the intimacy of God that we're invited into. Jesus is revealing the heavenly things to us. Jesus is revealing the realities of heaven, healing, peace, justice, restoration, all things made new through the person of Jesus. And these things are literally brought to earth wherever Jesus is staying. Can I get an amen? Always wanted to try that. So, third point is that when we come and see Jesus, we will see revelation. And so this morning, Jesus is giving us an incredible invitation, an invitation to come and see, an invitation to be transformed, and an invitation to see new realities that we cannot see, to see revelation. But here's the thing, is that we can't stand back and try and figure Jesus out. We can't stand back and have that transformation. We can't stand back and see the new reality as Jesus portrays it. We have to come. We have to see Jesus. We have to walk with him. We have to believe. We have to start moving towards Jesus in faith and on trust. And then Jesus will unpack those things and help us to understand. You cannot sit on the bench. So this morning, are you ready to come and see? Are you ready to lay down your misconceptions about Jesus? Jesus is saying, come and see. I will show you where I am staying. I will show you who I am. I will show you who you were meant to be. I will show you the glory of God unveiled and the realities of heaven. There's an invitation for you this morning. Three quick applications. First, if this morning, if you feel like you're like Andrew, you're spiritually seeking, you're looking for truth, come and see who Jesus is. This morning, if that is speaking to you, after this service today, after I conclude the message, we'll have one more worship song, and then we'll close the service. There's an opportunity for prayer if you are seeking this morning. Come and see. This morning, maybe you're a longtime believer, and you're thinking, well, does this apply to me? Yes, the Gospel of John is written that you may believe more. It's an invitation to receive more of Jesus this morning. What do you want from Jesus this morning? Remember how Jesus' first words in the Gospel of John is a question to his people. What do you want? What can I do for you? It's an invitation to have more of Jesus in your life. It's an invitation to see who God made you and designed you to be. It's an invitation to see the realities of heaven break out in your life. And a final subtle application. Did you catch the model of evangelism that happened in the text this morning? It's a little bit subtle, so I'll unpack it. Andrew encounters Jesus, and he goes and he finds a friend. He says, come and see. And then Philip encounters Jesus in the text, and he goes and he finds a friend, and he says, come and see. It's a real good application. It's an invitation to come and see Jesus. You see, the evangelism method is just faithfully pointing people to Jesus. The evangelism method is to invite people into your life to come and to see and experience Jesus. You are the best person to reach your friends and family. Are you inviting them into your life to come and see Jesus? This is the model before us. And so to close this morning, Jesus is calling us to come and to see him for who he really is, not who we think he is. Jesus invites us to journey with him, to walk with him, to come and see him. And when we do this, we will see transformation in our personal lives. We will see revelation and new realities that we cannot see on our own in our lives. We will see the glory of God unveiled and the heavens opened all around us. This is the way to come and to see what Jesus is all about. Let me close in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you are a good and faithful God. You left the glory of heaven and came in skin and bones as a man, and you moved into the neighborhood, God. You came so that we may have life and life abundantly. You came so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Lord, I pray over our people this morning that they would accept the invitation to come and see Jesus, not for who they think he is, but for who you truly are. I pray that you would transform us to be more like you. I pray that you would show us the realities of heaven as we come and see you, that you would have spontaneous outbursts of heaven in our life, Lord. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.